All right, everybody, welcome back to Judging Nerd Culture, where we talk about all the good and the bad parts of everything you love and hate. I'm Raul Alejandro González Enriquez, but you can call me Ali. And with me, as always, is the beautiful
Pookie!
Yes, the beautiful Pookie.
You see, I made it sound like I was doing the announcer voice from the video game that we're covering today, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So if you picked me in the game, which you kind of can, we made me's of ourselves to be the fighters, but if you pick me there, it just says, me, Gunner, and not Pookie! I wish you could record your own, that'd be amazing. And it just pitches you down.
I think I'd like it better if it just did, like, a Siri reading of the word that you write down.
Pookie.
Pookie. But it still has the super deep voice. Pookie.
Yeah. If it tried to read how I normally, how you spell that, because it's with a C, like, there's no K, so it would be Pussy, and that's not quite, that's not exactly what I'm going for, you know? I mean, in a manner of speaking, it is what I'm going for, but not, like, to be myself. We're talking about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, the newest and, like, I don't know, I feel like probably the best. There's some people who are going to be like, no, Melee's the one. The hardcore fans. It's the Nintendo series fighting game with a fuck ton of Nintendo characters in it.
What makes, personally, a fighting game the best one is the one that looks the least shitty and has the most characters.
Sure.
So it's this one.
Yeah, fair enough. But this, like, I can't think of anything other than, like, very clear ripoffs of this game and, like, that show up on Steam sometimes. That, like, it has a pretty unique mechanic compared to just, like, beat the other guy until his health bar goes down. Like, in terms of fighting games or any games, really. Like, this whole damage percentage, smash him off the screen. Which, I don't know, it's probably the first thing to get into. Like, the actual framing of the game is just all the Nintendo guys fight. You got Mario. You got that character who wears green. I believe his name is Zelda. You have...
I'm thinking of Yoshi.
Mm-hmm. You got Konky Dong, the big monkey. yeah, you're right. I was thinking of Yoshi. You have, of course, the most famous Nintendo character, Wii Fit Trainer. And, a bunch of other kind of losers have snuck in there. We're gonna break it down in extreme rapid-fire fashion later on in the episode, who all got in. But it's an extremely wide-reaching cast that I don't know if there really is anyone in the world who has, like, love and esteem for all of the characters in this game. Like, that's a lot of fucking other games to play to get who's being referenced here.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know. Some of them are just so old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of them haven't had a new title in so long that I feel like a number of the people who this game is marketed towards will not get that reference at all.
Oh, yeah. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Captain Falcon is just a Smash Brothers original character. Like, the games he's from are, like, old-ass racing games that nobody knows it. Like,
they're
nobody cares
games?
About... Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he's a race car driver. F-Zero?
Okay.
It's just like, before they made Mario Kart, they made a fucking racing game on the NES, and Captain Falcon was the main guy, and he rides around in the Blue Falcon, and fights against a bunch of other really exaggerated anime motherfuckers, and then instead of punching each other, which they all really look like they should be doing, like, they look like fighting game characters, but instead, they're racers.
Great.
There's that for that. So Falcon Punch, all made up for Smash Brothers. They never punch each other in F-Zero.
Cool. So yeah, that's basically worthless then. He's more of a Smash character than
he is
of his own.
Yeah,
game.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm thinking like Fox is more of a Smash kit. Like, those haven't. I mean, there's a new Star Fox game very recently, I think, but that's been it for like 15 years. As far as I know. Listen, we have. Other than Mario, who's like, he runs and jumps on the things, and there's a new game every, like, 6 months, seemingly, I know very little about everyone in this game who isn't from Fire Emblem.
All the Zelda games.
Yeah, I know a bit about the Zelda games. I know more than I should about Metal Gear Solid.
More than you should for someone who's never played a fucking minute of it.
Yes, and he's not even a Nintendo character. You want to tell them how this game works, Ollie? To your best understanding?
Yeah. You pick a character, and then you and however many other characters are thrown into a stage or platform, mm-hmm. some of which have dumbass gimmicks, others yep. don't. And you try to beat each other up and throw them off the stage or just throw them off the stage as best you can.
Yes.
And from my experience, what you mostly do is just smash B until someone falls off, because you will never be able to know where you are, and just hope that you're not the one who fell off.
A lot of people seem to have that problem. And yeah, the more characters that get involved, the more chaotic it gets. If you throw items on, then the screen, which is just a 2D platforming, like, in that respect, similar to, like, traditional fighting games. But the more elements that are going on, the more it gets, like, completely worthless to try to keep track of yourself, and it just turns into a, you know, chaotic mashing party scenario. Mm-hmm. But part of the idea is that as your character gets beat up by the other guys, you rack up a damage percentage, which starts at 0 for everyone, and this percentage is just how much more you get flung around by being hit. So if you're at 100%, any hit will knock you twice as far away as it did before. And the idea is that, you know, in the early start part of a match, you are racking up the percentage of other people by just, you know, beating down on them. And as they get easier and easier to launch, you're trying to land the one big hit that is going to send them blasting off and unable to get themselves back onto the stage.
Yeah, it's just increases the mm-hmm. the like whatever numbers are inputted for their ragdoll effects, yeah. which I think is a hilarious mechanic.
Oh yeah, and again, there's really nothing like it compared to, like, you know, like a Street Fighter, the most classic fighting game ever. Like, the environments in those typically don't matter. It's generally just a flat stage, you know, a flat box, and you are mostly focused on each other. But this, like, I mean, it makes sense. Nintendo makes a lot of platformers, like, with jumping and mobility as a big focus, and this is injecting some of that, like, mobility stuff into what would otherwise be just a fighting game-ass fighting game. But yeah, the edges of the screen are what finish you off in Smash Brothers, not just getting beat up by the other person.
I know you mentioned a moment ago the items.
Yes.
I know a lot of people don't like to play with items.
Oh, it depends on where you go.
Well, I know the ones who want to show that they're better at playing than you are don't like to put the items on.
Yeah, I mean, like any multiplayer game of any kind, there is a, you know, like, people go to tournaments and play, like, you know, strictly with, you know, adhered rules for real money sometimes, and, like, there is a pro scene. You can be a, like, ultimate Smash Bros. Ultimate player and, like, you know, really be the best. And if you, you know the game and are interested in it, it can be, like, really fun to see these people pull off, like, super insane shit. But part of that, you know, in the competitive scene is they eliminate the variables that could just be, like, one guy gets lucky and grabs the lightsaber, and then it's over for the other guy, because the lightsaber's, like, massive and swings across the whole fucking stage. You know, for just people kicking it at home, like a bunch of people playing at once, there is pretty much no reason not to just throw in items, throw in a few computer players to also knock around, and just, you know, go to any stage and have a chaotic time. But it, you know, you can play the game on all kinds of levels. When you go online, I don't know if it's the exact same settings. I haven't actually been online at all with this myself, but you can go in the For Fun or For Glory. And on For Glory, you actually have, like, a ranking and stuff, and the items are turned off, and most of the stages are not available except for ones that are pretty much, you know, decently flat planes, maybe a couple platforms, no gimmicks. Like, you know, a lot of the stages, which are all just based on various Nintendo, you know, properties and stuff, will have, like, monsters come in and fuck you up, or, like, spinning platforms and spikes and lava and other kinds of bullshit that, you know.
The lava one.
Yeah, anything that has just something on the stage that hurts you, it's just like, oh, fuck, I was playing this game, but now I'm not anymore because I'm flinching. And, it, you know, if the other person did that to me, that'd be one thing, but it's just like, you know, I'm not super into that. One of the fan favorite stages is the temple, which is just unreasonably massive. And when the whole point is to knock the other person off the side, having a super giant stage with a bunch of layers of platforms and like caves and nooks and crannies can really prolong the action, which, you know, people are into if they're just fucking around among friends.
What's your preference? Do you like to put on some items? I personally think the items add a level of chaos and like whimsy that I would just love to see on a professional level. Like to watch the people who are like super frame by frame fighters, just like, oh, I picked up a Blastoise and just see that throw a fucking wrench in things. I find that way more fun to watch than them actually being good at the game.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. Like if, like, you've got your buddies, and it's going on. Like, I can appreciate the mastery. My favorite thing to do is just set only Pokeballs, which will just spawn up, like, there's like 100 different Pokemon or whatever that will come out and start doing Pokemon shit. Check out episode 0 of Delta Cryptid Productions if you have no idea what Pokemon is. But, you know, all kinds of different monsters and stuff, and then just have that be that. There are a bunch of items that are, like, from Nintendo things I don't know about, so I'll just be like, what the fuck does this do? And, like, basically, I try to, you know, be selective and only put in stuff that you have a reasonable expectation of what's going to happen when you use it, instead, and leave off some of the just less interesting ones. But yeah, you know, I don't mind items a bit. It's definitely, I think, a criticism that I have of this game, because once somebody gets kind of good, they can't really go back, like, and the items are part of the equalizing factor that can make someone, like, you know, I have an awareness of how to be, like, a professional Smash Bros. Player. My thumbs are not there, like, just the literal, like, muscle instinct reaction forces that power my hands to press the controller are a million years from being developed enough for me to actually be like a good Smash Bros. Player. But like, you know, I'll use the shield and the dodge sometimes that nobody remembers exists, and you know, other stuff like that. So if I'm playing with real people whose emotions I care about, then yeah, fucking throw on the items, and then everybody has a pretty solid chance of actually being the winner, insofar as anyone even cares about winning at that point, because it's just, you know, let's fuck around on a stage and make big explosions and do special moves and have a good time. But there are some people I know, you know, some people whose friend codes I need to get and hit them up on the multiplayer, and that we actually could have a roughly equal, you know, battle of wills and strategies and reflexes and, like, try to play at the competitive experience. But if you do that with someone who's not as good as you, then it just quickly becomes not fun for both of you to be like, no, we're going to be fair. We're going to do it legit. And then, like, what's the point, you know?
So what are some of the ways to play this game?
We have quite a few options. Even in just the regular grab a buddy and do some fighting, you can play, everyone has a certain number of lives, or you just try to kill the other person as much as you can in a certain amount of time. There is even the stamina battle option, which gives everyone a more traditional, like, health meter instead of the, you know, the usual smashing setups. But what I appreciate a lot about Smash Brothers games that I think is often a real letdown in other fighting games is that they have pretty extensive single-player modes, or, you know, like, co-op, but story modes with a progression and an end boss and, like, goals and stuff that are generally, you know, a good time, and I think this one is no exception.
Yeah, I've always been accustomed to the Smash Bros. Classic solo experience.
Yeah.
And this one has that as well, but it also has a more unique soloing experience.
Yeah.
Should we say that one for last?
Yeah, let's say, I mean, we can blaze through the classic mode. Like, yeah. There is just, like, a more classic arcade-style fighter where, you know, you pick one character and your goal is to beat several matches in a row, which culminates in a boss at the end. And it's kind of themed depending on the character you pick. Like, the other ones you'll fight in the stages you go to, like, suggest a kind of story, but there's no, like, cutscenes or dialogue or anything like that.
Yeah, and the intensity, the level of difficulty increases as the matches go on, and if you lose, it'll drop back down.
Yep.
And that intensity, along with controlling how much... how the difficulty of the individual fight goes, also dictates how much rewards you get for that fight.
Yeah.
Because I believe in classic mode for the ultimate, is where you get items for, like, your me, like, little costume changes and other stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, or...?
I believe that's correct, yeah, cool. So, you can set the intensity at the very beginning, and if you're playing with, like, little kids or whatever, you can just set it to the bare minimum, and everyone will still have a fine time. But, you know, you can ratchet it up to, like, 5 maximum, but you can get it to further go up to 10, I think, or, like, 9.9 is the cap. If you play really well in all of your matches, then it'll be, like, 9.9 by the end. But every time you lose and have to continue, it goes down a few points. So, like, there is definitely, like, and I've certainly, you know, I'm okay at the game, but I've never done, like, a 9.9. I haven't really fucked around in it that much. Like, if I ratchet mine up to 5 at the start, it's gonna be around 5 by the end. I'll win some, lose some, and it'll just, you know, go how it is. Because the CPU does not fight fair. And,
yeah, they mastered their jump real well.
Oh, yeah.
I always start around 3 and then end up around 5.4 or 5 something.
Yeah, yeah, that's about right.
I got to 7 one time. I think it wasn't even in this one. I think it was in the last iteration.
It's pretty much the same, yeah.
And in that one, 2 hands were available. Were
fighting. Master Hand and Crazy Hand, yes.
Yeah. And then I got beat up and it went back down to 1 hand. And I was like, yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, no, that's the classic final boss of the story modes of all the Smash Brothers game, is just a big white glove that floats around. And, I mean, it has a traditional health bar. You're not, like, blasting Master Hand off the stage. You just beat it up with your best attacks. But it does a bunch of hand things, like it'll do finger guns that actually shoot at you, and it'll just, like, grab and try to squish you. It'll do the drill hand, the world's most ultimate martial arts move, and slam down into you, and, you know, has, like, laser attacks and all kinds of other bullshit. But
yeah, and I believe the hands are, like, they haven't really been a thing since, or the reference behind where they came from hasn't really been a thing since the first one.
Yeah.
But I believe in the first one, you see that the characters themselves, at the very beginning intro video, you see them as little toys that get thrown onto a desk and eventually animated.
Yeah.
So it's implied that Smash Brothers, the game, is just a kid playing with toys on his desk, and the Master Hand is his hand.
Which, yeah, that's, I mean, and they kept the Master Hand after, like, kind of removing that, like, meta layer, but that's sort of the implication is, and, like, as far as a fighting game that pulls in a bunch of fucking characters, that's probably the best and only story that shit should ever have. Like, when they try to, like, make a reason for everyone to want to kill each other, I feel like it always typically turns out no good, or at best, like, laughably campy and stupid, which is fine, fun sometimes, but...
Or, like, if they try to do a crossover, like, I can't imagine, I've never played it, but I can't imagine it has any sort of continuity or story. The Capcom versus Marvel.
Yeah, like, no, I don't even think they try. Like,
it can't be possible. Mm-hmm. So, like, the only way to do that is something like this.
I imagine the Mortal Kombat versus DC are probably real stupid. Probably. Which, you know, anyone who reads DC, like, even a little bit, just already has had the stupidity filter installed into their brain and just, like, can't taste or smell it anymore, I bet. So,
oh, no, it's heightened.
Okay.
We just love to bathe in it.
Yeah. It just, like, you know, you build a tolerance. It becomes an addiction. It's like that show that I feel like is, like, a show I don't really want to watch, and it seems exploitative and kind of, like, perverted, but it's like, oh, these guys eat weird things. We interviewed this dude who eats plastic bags, and that's how I feel like DC fans are. Like, you try something once, and it's like, what the hell is this? But then you just somehow get addicted despite your better self. I'm totally roasting Ollie. I don't really believe that.
Oh, but no, that's pretty close. For me, it's just the love of the characters and the hope that someday someone will write them in with any level of competence.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, but someday.
I mean, it's happened at least
it's happened
3/4 of the way once in the Kingdom Come crossover. Listen to that episode when you're done with this one.
It's happened a handful of times. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's not linger on my desires.
Oh, yeah. The the Nintendo characters, it's like, they're already far beyond having stories or motives or any interesting details about their existence. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued to see what the fuck Bayonetta is all about at some point, but...
She's a demon thing?
Or she's a witch. She fights angels. It's a whole thing.
Well, like, I think she's a witch, and then she fights... She's also part demon, and she fights some angels, and then mm-hmm. turns out there's also eviler demons and something. Yeah. I don't know. Her fucking outfit is made out of her hair, mm-hmm. and it's magic.
I appreciate very much that they don't try to make the individual characters and their stories relevant. Matter in yeah. any way. And, like, you know, they couldn't even. Like, what the fuck is Mr. Game & Watch gonna do? He's just a silhouette man from Game Watches from back in the day.
Yeah, that's real dumb.
Yeah, I mean, the super ancient days of video games when people were just like, what if we fucking did this and there were no rules, is like a very interesting time to me. And, you know, obviously most of that shit never advanced into the modern age, but, you know, it's fun to see what happened. But anyway, so that's classic mode.
All right. What other game modes we got available?
I will say, it's not always the big hand at the end. Frequently it is, but depending on the characters, there are other, like, big boss fights that'll come up. Like, if you play as Mario, I think you fight Giga Bowser.
Giga Bowser.
Yeah, but they're all, like, just big ol' enemies, and you gotta keep wailing on them, dodge their attacks, don't get knocked away. It's, you know, a decent time. We're not even gonna do a breakdown. Like, I wouldn't be able to remember all of their moves or anything. And the Master Hand, I think, is definitely the most interesting and best. I can't help but do his idle animation with my own hand as we talk about him, but
That'll come into play someday.
Yeah.
But, all right, cool.
We have a...
I didn't even know that you could get the other bosses.
I did the classic mode with Zelda, and then I fought Big Ganon, you know, like Ocarina of Time, Monster Ganon, and that was interesting.
See, I just played it with my Mii, mm-hmm. so...
Oh, yeah, that, of course, would be Master Hand, then. People know what Miis are. Like, the Wii was a big deal back in the day. Yeah. You can make, like, a... you know, chibi,
yeah.
cutesy version of yourself or of whomever you want, and then dress them up in ridiculous costumes and pick either the swordsman, the brawler, or the gunner. And, you know, then you can do fights amongst yourself, and that's pretty interesting. Or you can just live out your own personal fantasy of killing Bowser, if that's if that's what you're into. But the actual, like, story mode in this is really bizarre, in a way that I kind of like. And I say story mode, it doesn't really have that much of a story, but tell us what happens in the very beginning, if you recall.
I do recall. It starts off with a rather interesting cutscene where all of the characters are standing on a cliffside, pointing and attempting to fight a just fuckload of Master Hands coming in from the sky as they're invading the planet Earth?
Sure. Yeah, it's just, like, what if we put all of the Nintendo locations and smashed them together onto the same world? It's very strange.
Yeah. And, like, they're all there, bad guys, good guys, they're ready to fight these evil invading hand aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And behind all of these hand aliens is a glowing ball with massive wings wrapped around it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, the Master Hand's gloves peel off and they become light.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ball absorbed this light and shot it at everyone, which killed everything. Except Kirby.
Kirby got away. Yeah, he got away on his flying star.
Because apparently is as fast as the speed of light.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this light is, like, different, you know, magic light. It's a star, man. It's okay. Somebody had to get away. And, of course, they're going to make it Kirby, because the developer of the Smash Bros. Games is also the developer of the main Kirby platformers, HAL Laboratories. The guy, Sakurai, who everyone is always pestering on Twitter, hoping that they'll be the one to convince him to add whatever fucking Nintendo side character they're really after. And he just is blocking trolls left and right. I have a lot of respect for that man, but he's the main Kirby guy, too.
Gotcha.
But yeah, everyone gets fucked up. And yes, you see, like, it just cuts between all the different Nintendo characters as they're trying to dodge or block the light. Solid Snake hops into his cardboard box, hoping he can hide from it.
And then he fucking dies.
Yes. The Wii Fit trainer does the tree pose, which is funny enough as just a silly thing that she's doing before she gets fucking incinerated. But this is actually a reference. There was, in the last game, when she does that attack, there is one frame of, like, invincibility to where, like, anything will just go through her at a certain point in the animation. So I guess she's trying to do that with just the right timing to not get hit by the laser light.
She fucked it up, though.
Yeah, now she fucked it. It's hard to do, you know, to be fair. The CPU does not pull it off. Like, you know, it's fine. This is before you have control. But then, yeah, you end up on, like, a big board game layout, sort of.
And there's a bit of preamble even after that cutscene where you see the souls of these previous fighters being like frozen in carbonite style,
yes,
turned into animated bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start on the map as Kirby. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, like you said, like a board game style three-dimensional chess-ish map of the terrain, and most of it is covered by clouds. You only see a little bit at a time, and the map is fucking massive.
That is atmospheric clouds, not the character cloud.
No. Funny. But no, it's just...
If you insist.
It wasn't really that funny. So it's just, you know, you only see a chunk of the map at a time, and the map itself is massive as fuck. It is huge.
You think to yourself, like, yeah, this is going to take me forever, but at least once I finish that map, I finish the game, right? We'll talk about it.
So you go through and you, you know, there's only one trail you can follow at this particular moment, and you fight little floating orbs, which are supposedly, you know, orbs of soul energy or something.
So these are, I think, in the flavor, these are, like, you're fighting just characters from Smash Bros., like, among the roster, but they are being piloted by the spirits of other Nintendo characters who also just got bagged when the light ball, like, exploded everything. Mm-hmm. So, as you are fighting, you're either, you're very rarely freeing an actual character on the roster who will then join you and you can be them, but otherwise you're just freeing these spirits, which are, like, equipable boosts that all do different things. Some of them are like, oh, you start every fight with this item equipped. Or, you know, some of them are just, you jump higher, you run faster, your punches are more powerful, your sword is more powerful if you have one, and so forth.
Yeah. And this comes in the appearance of basically a collectible card game where your spirits are these little cards that have slots. You can add more effects to them.
Yeah.
And you can level up the effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be damned if I don't say that word right.
Yeah.
You can rank that up so that it's, you know, you're stronger or whatever the effect is for your particular card. And all the way up to level 99. And then some of them you can, like, evolve.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of the ones that are that way are, you know, just some kind of, like, nobody monster from a game who then becomes, like, a boss version of that monster. And these are all, like, you know, some of these are extremely niche references. Like, I imagine when you played through, or, you know, you played through the part of it that you did, me and Ollie just kind of, like, switched off and took out chunks of the story mode as we could, working our way towards the end so we would be ready to record this episode in time for this game to still be anything anyone remembers. Because by the time this comes out, will only be a couple days away from everyone forgetting that it even existed, because the consciousness moves fast. But I imagine you playing through the chunks you did were just like, I don't know who any of these fucking people are, because I barely know who any of those fucking people are.
I think one of them looked familiar, but I don't know what it was, it was from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them are so damn ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the spirit characters.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them look just like, you know, NES graphics versions of themselves, or even just like old school, like, manual art, but still like a primitive art style compared to, you know, modern stuff.
Mm-hmm. One of them, like, there's a lot of Fire Emblem characters which are, well, they're very anime style.
Yes. And just like fey anime sword boys.
Yep. But one of the cards is someone that looks like them, but from the fucking 70s, apparently.
Oh, yeah, no. Fire Emblem is old as shit. Like,
and I love that they just kept that art style, mm-hmm. though. Like, the art style has definitely changed with Fire Emblem so that it fits the current age mm-hmm. of anime. But not the card. They pulled
it. Oh, yeah, no. They're not going to redraw all of these characters. That would be a monumental task. But yeah, no, like, there's some really, like, old Gundam Sailor Moon-looking-ass Fire Emblem art where everyone had legs three times as long as the rest of their body, as was the style of the time. Yeah, I mean, like, I was astonished, because I'm a fairly Nintendo knowledgeable fellow. That's not nearly as much your, you know, side of games and things. And, like, I understand that. But, like, there was a time pretty much motivated by Smash Brothers when I was a younger man and I was just looking up as much Nintendo shit as I possibly could. Because that's, you know, my interests were much less complex at that time.
But, yeah, I can't lie. I was more of a Sony boy.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, for sure. I mean, it just, you know, it's what hits you just right when you're a kid. It makes sense. But, so I was surprised at how many just, like, deep cuts of, like, real niche side character ass, like, oh, they remembered him? Like, what? It's pretty impressive. And all of the fights with these spirits are, like, have some kind of gimmick involved related to what that character does in the actual game that they're from.
Yeah, the gimmicks are the worst.
Yeah.
Because some of them just have, the ground is lava, mm-hmm. literally. Fuck yep. you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a lot of them, some of them are like, oh, you know, you're fighting, like, six tiny Donkey Kongs at once, and they just go fucking flying whenever you hit them, and they're, like, amusing. The best ones are, like, jokey ones, but...
Yeah.
And a lot of them are just like, oh, whenever you land on the floor, it makes you fall asleep, and the solution to this is just to equip the spirit that says, oh, you don't actually fall asleep when this happens. It's just a, here's a problem, time to equip the thing that specifically just solves problem A, and it's kind of a boring, like, it's not a puzzle at that point. It's just either you probably will lose this fight or you probably will win this fight, whether or not you have what you need to solve the gimmick. And generally, what you need to solve the gimmick is something you just got from, like, two fights before, because it's laid out in a board. I mean, generally, I enjoyed myself because the intrinsic act of playing Smash Brothers is a fun thing to do. And, like, some of the fights that show up are, like, optional and it's super challenging. And it's, like, really cathartic when you actually can kill them and get, like, a ridiculously powerful spirit. But some of them are, like, insanely frustrating and I just have no idea what to do to, like, get around the problem.
Yeah. And I don't know, the rewards that you get for them, you know, you get some skill points, which you can do with a tree, which we're not even got there yet.
Yeah.
But the rest of it's just other cards that are kind of usually shit.
Yeah.
Like, 80% of the cards are not that great.
Mm-hmm.
There's only like 20% or 15% that are pretty awesome, and then 5% which you have to put on to avoid the floor's lava kind of
yep.
issues.
Yeah, for sure.
So, it's a... Like, the fights are fun, and some of them are pretty interesting, but the rewards for them I'm usually not given much of a fuck about unless it's a character that I can unlock, which you can sometimes get
mm-hmm.
every once in a 15 paces or so.
It has a problem that's, in a way, similar to what we described in Symphony of the Night, which is, like, this board is huge, and I think the kind of terrain of it is pretty cool, and it's fun when you, like, you know, unlock a new biome, like, oh, I just, you know, got to the spooky forest, or the, you know, mountainside, or the beachside, or whatever, you know, like, the exploring the map is kind of fun, but by the time you've gotten all the way to the end of one particular branch, you have pretty much a loadout of spirits that is, like, really powerful and you generally are not going to switch off of. So eventually, yeah, as you said, the allure of getting something new is tamped down because you just, like, I have my kit. I like this setup. I'll change it when I need to, but it just becomes kind of a chore. It's not like you have a lot of fun preparing for a specific fight. It's just, can I have my combat gear on or do I have to change it for one thing?
Mm-hmm. There's also a mechanic within the cards and all that with the spirits where they're given a color, red, blue, and green, and the color of the enemy that you're going to fight is also one of those three colors, and one is weak to the other in a very much Pokemon-style kind of way. I think it's red is weak to blue, blue's weak to green,
green's weak to blue. It's power is beaten by defense is beaten by grabbing, grab and throw type spirit, which, like, they're named after things you do in the game, but the spirits themselves don't really influence your ability to do those things. It's a weird naming choice, and it's just is like a chore to try to match yourself rather than, you know,
just powering through it anyway.
At a certain point, I just stopped giving a shit. Like, once I got a spirit with, like, just huge stat bonuses, I was like, I'm gonna have this, and if I can't win with this, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'll just, you know.
Yep. And, so you start off with just Kirby.
Yes.
So, no matter who you fight, you gotta fight with this little pink fuck.
Yeah.
So,
and most of the beginning fights are pretty easy to account for that you might not have a character who fits your style right away, but, yeah.
So, how do we get characters that we can use in this mode?
They're like those are kind of the big prizes for your exploration. Like the unlockable characters, you can see them clearly on the map, and even when you do a zoom out to the entire big map, it'll show you the locations of all of the unlockable fighters that you've seen so far, and that's what you're kind of making your way towards. So the first one you run into, you can't miss Mario, and then you have a pretty decent pair of options, then you eventually reach a fork in a road and you can pick between three different characters. Who did you go with?
Ike.
Yeah. Or was it Marth or?
I think it was Marth.
Swordman. Blue Swordman.
Yep. Yeah,
for sure.
He had the counter, not the big attack.
Yes. That's Marth. Marth is the Twinkie one.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
Ike is the buff guy.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
The alternate skins.
Yeah. But, and I went with Sheik, the ninja-esque variant for Zelda. But,
I'm almost 100% certain that I went with Marth, thinking it was Ike.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that could be real. I forget entirely who the other one was. But, in any case. So, that's what you're questing towards, like, the intrinsic joy to me of, like, ooh, there's someone new on my team, lasted for a good long while before I eventually gathered all of the characters that I knew I was pretty good at and could pretty much solve any problem with. And at that point, I was like, I'm kind of getting bored of this exploring. I should just head straight through to the end. Part of that may have been wanting to, you know, get the story mode part done so we could talk about it earlier in this episode, but it turns out that was a foolish plan anyway.
Yes, so this cycle continues, and each time you go to a new area that's kind of themed, like there's an entire section that's like Mega Man themed.
Yeah.
And some of these areas you fight the final boss of the classic mode for that character
in
that area.
All of those bosses are included somewhere on this map. I definitely didn't get to all of them. Mm-hmm. Apparently you can fight Dracula. We could have gotten our revenge from Symphony of the Night, but we missed him.
That's unfortunate. But yeah, so that's kind of cool. But that's basically it. You go around, you do that. Sometimes you find some chests, and there's some interesting loot in there. I think sometimes you can get fun items for your Mii and other power-ups and spirits and stuff. But that's about it.
Yeah.
And you just continue that until you find the particular path that takes you to the big boss, Galeem.
Galeem, yes.
Galeem, the light boss.
Floating light ball surrounded by, like, the six, like, seraph wings.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that was a half-decent boss fight.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Yeah.
When you get to him, eventually it just floats around you and does obnoxious, mostly entire field attacks that you have to stand in the right position to not get hit by.
Yeah. Which, and it does telegraph where these things are going to be. Whether or not that makes it easily avoidable depends on how much you've, like, committed to attacking it while it was standing still. You've got to have the right balance.
Yep, and when you go through, you just got to find him in wherever spot he's in. If it's an advantageous spot, hit him up as best you can, hit him hard. We found with our little bit of interaction that DPS is not the way to go. Just big burst hits are better. Yeah. Because you don't get a whole lot of time before he moves to a new spot.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Someone whose skill is, you know, more about being fast is has much less advantages here. You might have a better time dodging, but it's better to just, you know, kill the thing quickly enough so that you don't slip up.
Mm-hmm. To that extent, we went through this with Bowser.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew my man Big Bowser was the guy for the job. Typically, I would pull out Bowser for any mission I was having a lot of trouble with anyway, just in the hopes that I could nail his enormous turtle drop kick and just happen to catch the enemy at the right time, because, you know, anything with a hit that big, I'm bound to get lucky eventually. But it worked out, you know, well enough for Galeem. And if you're us, you definitely thought that was the end of the story mode, but it turns out that that just reduces releases Galeem's bad twin Darkon, or Dark, something like that.
Yeah, like Darko. No, that's Johnny Darko. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like Darkon.
Johnny Darko? Yeah, that's close enough.
But yeah, it's just like the it's sort of a similar style of creature.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an orb in the center. This orb happens to be an eye this time. And instead of wings, it's just gross demon tentacles.
Yeah.
Like some space demon of death. And yeah, it opens up a rift in the existence, I guess. And you jump into it, and there's a whole nother fucking board.
Yep. Yep, it just throws you into, like, new Dark World. And, you know, all of, like, you can just go back and keep looking around on the main board if you want to. Like, you know, if you still are looking for characters and stuff, theoretically you could. Yeah, me and Ali, about 2 hours before we started recording this episode, reached that point and realized, oh, there's no way we're finishing that on time. So, you know, sorry to breach our journalistic reviewer's integrity, but we decided, you know, that boss is probably pretty similar to the one we just fought. And we looked it up on YouTube, and sure enough, we were correct.
Yep, and once you beat Darkon, or whatever the fuck his name is.
I think that's it.
Then there's another section.
Yep.
And this one's a little different. This one's a pretty interesting little sequence,
mm-hmm.
Where you pick three characters rather than just the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the first time in the entire mission, you get, like, you know, your main guy and then two, you know, backups who will come in if you get killed.
Mm-hmm. And then you fight your way up a scrolling platform,
mm-hmm.
that's scrolling its way down. You have to, you know, avoid falling all the way down and try to make your way up to the top where Galeem has returned and is having a bit of a tiff with his brother Darkon.
Mm-hmm.
And as you fight your way up, as you jump your way up, there's battles that appear with, I'm assuming, eventually all of the characters.
Yeah, yeah. We ended up kind of scanning around, but it looks like, you know, two at a time and then four at a time, just all of the characters from the roster will appear either as, like, light clones or shadow clones of themselves. And what I think is particularly neat is that they are summoned by Galeem and Darkon, respectively, and those motherfuckers hate each other. So, like, they're trying to kill you, but also they will just beat each other up. And part, you know, exploiting that can help you get through, it seems.
Mm-hmm. And also exploiting all the jetpacks that are apparently strewn about.
Yeah, yeah, the platforming segments occasionally start throwing in items, and there'll be, like, bombs that drop on you and jetpacks to help you, like, zoom around. The two, like, main bosses will throw in attacks from off from the side and stuff before you actually reach the two of them as a combined three-way boss fight, which I can't think of any game that that's happened in, that the final boss is two final bosses fighting each other, and you need to make sure they both die.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, I don't think I've seen that either. I'm sure it's been done somewhere.
Sure.
But not that I know of. And, yeah, you can, you know, individually fight either one of them, fight them both, try to take them both down at the same time. It seemed from the YouTube video that we watched, the best tactic is definitely kill one, and whenever the other one's attacking you, try and get in the way of the other so that it hits that guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You play them to hit each other. Interesting.
And, yeah, and it seems real effective because your hits do piddly. But just keep going until they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's, that's all it really leaves out to.
Yeah.
It's just a nice, interesting boss battle in like the physical mechanics, because I don't know, dodging and trying to place another person's attack in the right place is mm-hmm. is cool. Like it's an interesting idea.
It's very it is an interesting idea, and it does kind of put to the test the like, you know, the, your ability to like read attack patterns and adhere to like the gimmicks of all of the fights that you've done up to that point. I don't think it's a particularly good boss in terms of like being good at Super Smash Brothers allows you to be good at fighting this boss. I mean, it does in a way. You need to know your character's moves and what's going to do the best damage at the right situations and stuff, but it's not, you know, the same smashing an enemy away, like, that is the core of the fighting game part of the game, which, you know, I mean, it would be hard to turn that into, like, a real boss, you know, and they sort of do on the lead-up to it, but I don't know. I mean, I haven't actually done it with my own hands yet, so I don't have, like, a intense emotional association one way or another, but it seems like a perfectly satisfactory final boss for a perfectly, you know, satisfactory story mode to this game.
Yeah, it seems good enough. Mm-hmm. My only nitpick with it would be that, like you were saying, the skills needed to complete this particular boss, they're not included in the game as you play it. They're not skills you're not acquiring. You are, but they're not the ones that you've been honing.
Yeah.
Like, the skills you've been, like, practicing and mastering are dodging here and there, and that's used plenty, but also finding the right spot to use your big hit and knowing when you can do your quick damaging hit to, you know, fill up their percentage and then knock them off. And that's not really practice here. There's, you know, a life bar mm-hmm. kind of fight. And it also seems like it would be more of a thing that you'd be fighting with the controls themselves, because Smash has a thing that I mentioned it a little earlier before the podcast, where when you try to change direction and move, there seems to be like a momentary, like, it's not an instant thing. It's difficult to land and turn your character to start hitting a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular arrangement, where the whole idea is you're just bouncing around, trying not to get hit, and trying to hit a thing once in a while to try and, you know, steadily keep going at its health, like, being able to do that is kind of a big deal. And I feel like it's not a skill that you've been honing in the game, because it's a skill you can't really hone.
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm not sure if that's the best.
No. That makes sense to me. So there are definitely situations in terms of, like, you know, the competitive play in which it is beneficial for you to be moving backward while continuing to face a certain direction and being able to fight like that. And so that is partly built into the physics that turning around isn't as intuitive and instant as you think it would be. It's not like, you know, it takes forever to turn your character around or anything, but still, like, in the precise moment that you want to do your big attack and then you're facing the wrong way, it, like, I do it too. I know what you mean. It makes you feel like a real putz when it's like, oh, I just Falcon punched the wrong fucking way. That doesn't seem like something my character would have done on purpose. And, you know, there's, like, It involves, like, training your muscles to a set of skills that don't necessarily make sense, which is the way a lot of fucking video games work, but not, you know, not an ideal thing.
Yeah. And with the lead-up to the boss, most of the fights in this have been, oh, I wasn't facing the right way. It's all right. I still hit something, so it doesn't matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't really been a thing that you've been forced to practice.
All the other bosses, like the classic mode bosses, are super huge. So yeah, regardless of which way you're facing, you're going to hit their hitbox. It's just a matter of them not hitting you. Mm-hmm. But the light ball and the dark eye ball are much smaller.
You think there's an eye in that light ball, but we just can't see it?
It's just too bright, yeah.
But yeah, so aside from being an interesting boss and, you know, being mm-hmm. kind of unique in the fact that there's two of them hurting each other, I'm not sure if it does the best job of being a culmination of your skills mm-hmm. and showing that you've earned this
mm-hmm.
final fight. But it's not bad.
I also think, like, this story mode is kind of long. Like, by the time I got to the first Galeem, I was like, this is a just right. Like, I'm ready to be done now. And then it's like, you're not done. I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't know that I'm going to continue. I'm satisfied with the spirits that I have because they're really only to be put to use in this game, and I can't imagine changing my loadout anytime soon. Like, we have, you know, just some strong spirits that generally boost the attacks we use, mm-hmm. and it works okay, so.
Yeah, and on top of that, you don't unlock characters using this mode. Like, the characters you unlock in this mode of the gameplay are only available in this mode of the gameplay.
Yes.
So, rest of the roster. Well, you also unlock
when
them.
When you do get them on the board, if you don't have them in the main game yet, it does unlock them there, but...
But unlocking them in the main game doesn't unlock them in here.
Yes. And unlocking them in the main game is lightning fast. Mm-hmm. If you just are goofing around with a pal for a while, you'll get through, like, 5 or 10 characters in a sitting.
Yeah, and we've unlocked them all.
Yes.
But only have a handful in the story mode.
Yes, yes.
And so at this point, going back to it just seems unnecessary.
Yeah. Like, it is kind of a fun way to try out characters who you're not, you know, experienced with. Like, the story mode and the weird battles give you opportunities to use all kinds of different powers that they have. But, like, you know, I'm content to just, like, hop into classic mode and practice shit with them there instead. Like, you know, the reward structure of there, A, I want more costumes for my me. I want a cowboy hat. I don't have it yet.
It's definitely the only thing I'm going to be doing
now. Oh, yeah.
I need a full pirate costume, hat and all.
Yes, and I know that exists. So that's the next motivator. But yeah, like, as far as story modes in fighting games go, I think it's pretty, you know, it's on the upper echelon.
Yeah.
But as far as being a video game, it's like, it'll pass the time, but it's not a, you know, a gold medal or anything.
If you're going to buy it just for the story mode, I maybe wouldn't.
Nah, yeah. No, you're going to want people in your house or people online or, like, somebody to smash with, because the story mode is strictly single player. I wish there was some kind of co-op going on. I don't think it would really fuck things up that bad.
I don't think so. And, yeah, this is, despite, you know, an interesting story mode, it's definitely a co-op mm-hmm. or PvP style game. And while those aren't tipping my jam, as far as couch play, this is possibly the best sit on the couch and kill each other game.
Oh, yeah.
It's
so much more mirthful than a lot of fighting games. Like, a lot of them, they really lean into, like, a serious aesthetic of, like, these characters, you know, they gotta get the money to save their mom. Like, this is really hardcore and stuff. And in Smash Bros, you just wahoo, and it's fine.
Yeah, the colorful characters is the main shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about them?
Yeah, we're going to do a lightning round. If we got into extreme depth on each of these characters, we'd be here all fucking day. But, like, basically, I'm going to let you take the lead on the characters you've played as and, you know, giving your impressions and stuff. And if there's any trivia tidbits, I have an embarrassing amount of knowledge of the stuff that's in this game. So I'll fill in along the side.
Yeah, a lightning round sounds great. There's way too many to get through.
Yeah.
There's also way too much we have to do.
Yeah.
For example, we need to go to the self-promotion corner.
Oh, let's you're do that quite right.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm. We gotta equip our money-begging spirits for this one.
It's always on.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the self-promotion corner. We're going to talk to you today about the fact that we're broke and we need your help.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to patreon.com/Delta Cryptid Productions, you can shoot us a couple bucks of whatever amount you really want. We'll still be incredibly grateful.
Oh, yeah.
A buck will give you access to our newsletter and you'll see what's going on in the world of us. Whatever project we're working on, whatever shows are coming up next, that sort of thing. Any updates on our video projects that we have yet to start?
And I would like to add that any amount of money at all will add you to the upper echelons of our number one guys, which so far only includes Terry and Rowles. Thank you so much, fellas. You're keeping us almost sort of afloat. You are slowing the rate at which we sink.
Indeed. So, join these fellas in being the best people around. They're around the $3 Patreon mark, which means they also get the bonus episodes, which are just basically us talking about the previous mainline episodes, you know, these episodes, and just saying wild ass shit if we had been given full control over the property and the title to the games or movies or whatever, and doing whatever the fuck we want with them. Mm-hmm. This is episode 9, right? Right now?
This is episode 11 right now.
Oh, fuck. We're that far ahead?
Afro was number 9. Oh. Truman Show's number 10.
Nice. Well, yeah.
Oh, I'd like to throw it on here. This has already happened by the time you're hearing this, but we did put 2 episodes of the remix on the main feed for free, so you may have already listened to them up to this point, but that is sort of examples of the quality of what we're working with. We, you know, are a little more freeform, a little more laid back, lighter on the editing, but, you know, we always have a lot of fun just, like, spinning some fun shit to do with the stuff.
Yeah, and as I'm sure you, if you've put up any 2 episodes on there, that means they've heard already that I usually go in with no idea what to say and just pull shit out my ass.
I'm talking, it's probably going to be Pokemon and Spider-Man, and by probably be, I mean probably was, so yes.
Cool. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to just do that, and I think they're a lot more creative, and also they, I don't know, they throw out a lot of fun ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested for more of a goofy, just what the hell's going on kind of thing, and also that's a little more brief, that's your one.
Yeah.
Beyond that, there's other goals that maybe you would be kind enough to donate to, which will allow you to get a message on the podcast. Anything you want to say to a friend or anything you want to advertise in general, we'll do it for you. Just tell us what you want. And beyond that, you can get all the previous stuff, as well as select an episode that you want to hear and maybe even be a part of that episode if you pay enough.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, again, like we always say, we'll do anything for money.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's our Patreon. Patreon.com/Delta Cryptid Productions with an S at the end.
Yes.
So yeah, help us out. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, if it still exists. Pretty much anything that has social media, we're on there. Instagram.
Yeah. Please hit us up at Cryptid Delta on Twitter. We've got a lot of followers on the Facebook, and thank you so much. But our Twitter is high and dry. So if you have one, throw us a follow. We will keep you updated in a concise format.
And if you do join our Facebook, you know, say some stuff. Leave a comment. Let us know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And most important, well, not most importantly, but extremely importantly as well, if you don't have any money or any means to help us out like that, throw us a comment and a... hopefully 5 stars on iTunes so that some people somewhere will put our episodes on an algorithm which will show it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got.
Yeah. Despite clearly enjoying ourselves, it does, you know, take some efforts to get the podcast going. So anything we can all do as a community together will help, you know, keep our spirits afloat and our wallets patch the hose holes in them. Anyway. Let's get back into it.
Indeed.
Tap out of the self-promotion corner. Smash out of the self-promotion corner.
And back into the character talks.
You ever play as Mario in this fucking video
no
game?
No fucking way. Yeah. I played it for the main game, like the story mode for a second, and then said, this sucks ass.
Oh, yeah.
And moved on.
I prefer Mario to Kirby, so, like, in that context, yes, I used Mario, but...
I preferred Kirby to Mario. Mario didn't... Kirby had the big hammer and the knockdown
the
jump.
The hammer is really, really good in this compared to other games it's been in.
So, like, I used him until I got anything else.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Mario's, like, the classic jump man. His, you know, whole thing in any game he's in ever is that he's the... middle in all stats, you know. He has some range, he has some close-up stuff, his grab is okay, his power is okay, he's mediumly hard to knock off the stage, he's just kind of all around useful. In older games, he used to just have like a spinning attack that I thought was, you know, pretty good, and I rarely ever use Mario. I'm of the opinion that he has enough fame. He, you know, gets enough time in the sun. I mean, it's going to be hypocritical in a second, but in this game he has the water blaster from Super Mario Sunshine, which I find incredibly hard to use. However, Dr. Mario is a complete another story.
Also a complete and utterly different character.
Yes. Dr. Mario is his own guy in this game because, I mean, like, part of the point... Everyone thought it was pretty silly when they put him in Melee, and he hasn't been in any other game since. But part of the point of this one was, like, any character who has ever been in Smash, we're bringing them all back. So that includes, you know, that Dr. Mario, if they're going to keep their promise. But
fair enough. I'm just saying, you bring in Dr. Mario, but no Waluigi? Fuck you guys.
I, I have theories about Waluigi. Like, there must be some kind of bizarre rights-holding, like, problem with Waluigi, because he only shows up in the sports games ever. Like, there are a bunch of Wario games that are specifically for Wario, and it would have been a fucking layup to put Waluigi in those, but, like, there's gotta be some contract shenanigans that they just can't get Waluigi. Like, he shows up as an assist trophy, just like a summon item that you can find occasionally pulls Waluigi, but...
Look, I hate all of the Mario characters. Mm-hmm. I don't like that franchise.
Oh, yeah.
But goddammit, I want my communist Luigi.
Yeah.
I want to play him, and I want to kick people with him.
I think maybe he's just too big.
He is real long.
He's just too tall. Nah, but Dr. Mario, he keeps that spin move, and it's great. It has extreme killing power, and it, like, it's just Mario, but much less complicated in all of his attacks, and I find it to be, like, you know, like, whenever I was having trouble in the story mode, I'd be like, I bet I could beat this with Dr. Mario, and then I switch to Dr. Mario, and then I just fucking slam dunk it sometimes. He's definitely not going to be, like, my main in terms of, like, you know, he's someone I'm good at kind of naturally, but I'd rather be good at characters I actually like, which are going to be way farther down on this list. Also, there's Luigi, who's like Mario, but all of his attacks look a lot sillier, pretty much.
Yeah, he like flounders around. Mm-hmm.
He has a lot more like floatiness in his jump, like he's very aerial in focus, which is not something I'm good at doing. He has the like rocket missile attack, where he just, like, jets himself forward, and I always just do that straight off the fucking stage, because I'm a big, colossal klutz.
Nice.
All right, Donkey Kong.
Big, hits hard,
yeah.
Spins.
He does a big wind-up punch. He can headbutt you into the floor, which is, like burying is a thing that a lot of attacks you, and it's just, like, a stun. But I don't really care for Donkey Kong. He's too heavy. His attacks take way too long to come out.
His only good attack is a spin attack, and
yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, that's like really tempting. Whenever a new person comes in, I think they're just like, oh, this guy's got a spin attack. I better just do the spin attack all the time. And usually it's pretty good, but...
I mean, yeah. If you want a spin attack, the next guy.
Yeah.
Let's just go with him instead.
Link has always been pretty rough in Smash Brothers games. Like, you know, a lot of people like him, but he still has been, like, consistently low tier, if you care about those things, and hard to use. He's fucking awesome in this. Like, I really like playing as Link in this game.
Along with Link, there's also Young Link and Toon Link,
yep.
Which are just continually smaller versions
yes,
of him.
I wondered, like, Toon Link specifically from Wind Waker, which is a game I really like a whole lot. The art style is hit or miss with some people, but is just, like, a very, like, chibified, kind of smooth, polished Link. and Young Link is just, what if Link was a kid? I prefer both of them over, like, Main Link. Like, Main Link has... He's heavier, he has a lot more, like, smashing power, but the other two are very fast. Mm-hmm. But basically, Young Link has big jumps, and Toon Link is just insanely fast at running, from what I could tell.
Yep. And they're all, like, they all have similar attacks. Like, they all have an arrow and a boomerang and a bomb or whatever. Yeah.
Big on projectiles.
Yeah. Which, you know, matches the way you play them in other games, more or less. If you had to pick one to fight with, which would you prefer? Because I would have to go with Big Link just because he's heftier.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like, very narrowly Toon Link over Big Link. Like, Toon Link doesn't have nearly as much finishing move power, but he's just, like, so fast. Mm-hmm. I really like the way his downward sword strike, he just goes straight fucking down rather than just, like, holding a sword below him and waiting, as the other guys do. Young Link, I didn't have... Like, I tried him out a little bit and was not super into it.
I saw him for a little while. He, mm-hmm. Like, his spin attack was a lot quicker.
I like that he shoots fire arrows. I don't know that it makes that much of a difference. It's kind of stylish. That's about it.
Maybe you fought an oily man, you could light him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's next?
We've got Samus from the Metroid series, who I've always thought Samus's design was really cool, just like a big power armor motherfucker, except it's a lady. Spoiler alert for this ancient ass video game character.
Yo, motherfucker is definitely gender neutral.
Oh, well, no, I know. I just like, you know, the connotation of big power armor motherfucker, like, that reads like Gears of War, typically.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, you know, big ol' arm cannon, I am extremely trash ass garbage terrible with Samus. I've never been good with Samus. I would like to be, but like, you know, not super attached to the character or anything. I just think aesthetically she's cool. But
yeah, I'm not too bad with her. Mm-hmm. I like to, you know, do the charge up or whatever, but then you can just not attack with it and keep it on standby for a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
Start hitting someone and then blast them and it just super fucks them up.
Oh, for sure.
That's kind of fun.
And this seems to me like specifically more of a distance character than Link, who has some really powerful, like, close-range options, and the projectiles are more for just harassing people. Samus, you're, like, doing business with your missiles and stuff.
Yeah. And there's also Dark Samus, which is, I think, the first character in this where their selection icon, their little thumbnail, is inside of the thumbnail for the regular Samus. You just have to trade between the two.
Yeah, because they live in the same box. Otherwise, the character select screen would be enormous.
Because, and it's not the last one. There's more to do that. Mm-hmm. But it also does that because they have the exact same fucking moveset.
Pretty much. These are referred to as Echo Fighters. And anytime there's a difference between them, it's a very small difference. Mm-hmm. I have not messed around with Dark Samus at all. It's just like a spooky alien clone of Samus that happens in a Metroid game that I've never fucking played. And she, like, floats off the ground a little bit, which looks badass. But other than that, I couldn't speak to the differences. And I've looked them up, and people are like, haven't found anything concrete yet. We still need to test more. They might literally just be the same, but flavored differently. I don't know.
Nice. And along with those two, there's also Zero Suit Samus.
That's true.
And she's cool. She doesn't have her mega armor on. I actually prefer this one to the regular one.
Yeah.
She's got more, like, close range power attacks.
A lot of people do. This is just, just the Samus is actual, you know, human, like, no helmet. She's just in a space suit. Mm-hmm. It's not Zero Suit of any kind, but that's the common joke. And she has, like, a stun gun laser whip thing. Yeah.
And that'll fuck things up. Mm-hmm. Just hit him with that.
And also, like, rocket heels, yes, which is a whole thing.
Rocket boots.
Yeah.
And one of her attacks activates the rocket boots, and you do a flip and you hit them with the rocket boots, and it's the worst fucking attack because it'll just launch you off the goddamn map.
Oh, yeah. That is impossible to hit anybody with. Like, it's a you know, bonus if you actually can somehow land on someone with that. I think the main point is if you get knocked away, you can do that to, like, jet back and then do her super jump. Rather than just doing the jump, it might not be enough. But I think it's mostly just a land back on the stage. Or if you're a real big baller, when you knock someone else off, you could do that to spike them into the fucking pit. But, you know, like, spike is in volleyball spike, like, poof.
Yep.
Yeah,
so that's all there is for Samus. Mm-hmm. Have you tried much with Yoshi?
Not at all. I find Yoshi extremely unpleasant to play. Like, you gotta, like, the real Yoshi masters are entirely in the air. Like, it seems like they never land on the floor. They just jump in and do the flailing kick over and over until they've just fucked everybody up. And they, you know, you can throw an egg, which biologically is very troubling that Yoshi can just produce eggs on him from nothing constantly.
And the fact that he throws them, like,
they're unfertilized.
I realize this, mm-hmm. but still weird.
You can also catch up your opponents in your big tongue and then just poop them out as an egg, and then it stuns them briefly so you can wail on them.
That's also weird.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if a person dropped an egg and threw it at me, I'd be horribly offended.
I feel like it's not that much different than if they just shit and threw it at you. I mean, yes, horribly offended, but for, you know, similar purposes. Yeah. Like, if it's not, you know, it's just a bodily function. I find the noises Yoshi makes very unpleasant, and the music that plays on all of his stages very irritating, and just a lot about Yoshi when he's not just a power-up in a Mario game is, like, unpleasant to me.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, I'm gonna talk about Kirby for a moment.
Yeah, let's hit Kirby.
His abilities are kind of goofy.
Yeah.
One of his abilities is to eat a person and poop them out and then get a hat that is themed after that person.
Yeah, you copy their main, like, most basic, like, special move. Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, Kirby's not bad. They're not the best. They float pretty well, so you can get back on the stage pretty easily. But, and They got a couple of good moves. You know, Slam Down does a pretty strong hit, and their hammer attack is pretty powerful, but that's
oh, yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Most of the special moves are, like, references to different powers Kirby could get in the other, you know, main Kirby games. I'm not good at controlling, like, the floatiness. Like, you get knocked away really easily. You know, it can be hard to come back from being damaged because, like, the slightest tap can kill you after a certain point because you're so light. Our next character, I know, is much more up your alley.
Yeah. The next one is my boy Fox. And, I'm not a, I'm not good at Smash. I'm not bad by any means. I can get through any of the game modes without too much trouble. But I'm not a person who actually knows the controls. Yeah. I just know enough of them. For example, you were telling me earlier that the special moves are what the B button does, and the Smash moves are what A and attacking the thing. And
with Bayonetta's attacks, I can't blame you for thinking that was a B button thing, because those are way more extravagant, but yeah.
And, yeah, I don't really give much of a fuck about that. I just use the special moves for most of the characters. And with Fox, he has a set of moves that are good for dodging, hitting, and defending. And that's pretty much it. Like, he's just pretty well-rounded. Not the heaviest or anything. One of his moves, which I use constantly, is just dashing back and forth. It's good for, you know, doing a little bit of damage. But it's mostly good for just avoiding getting hit.
Oh, yeah. When you're fighting the, like, the bosses in the story mode, Fox is excellent. Because their AI, they don't know how to anticipate him. Like, you can just shoot through them with this dash, and they will, you know, be always one step behind to actually hit you. Not, you know, it's not perfect, but it helps.
Yeah, and getting behind them is a real useful, because you can't jump above them usually.
Yeah, yeah.
So just, you know, dashing through them is the most effective way to get behind them and hit them.
Back in the GameCube days, Fox was the, like, undisputed, absolute abomination, best character ever, no holds barred. Like, it was just agreed upon. Everyone's like, oh, Fox, he's the king. Mm-hmm. And they've definitely done a much better balancing job from what little I know. I'm, you know, certainly not pro level in any capacity, but, you know, he's no longer, like, the supreme champion. Definitely has strengths and weaknesses like anyone else.
Yeah. There's another couple of characters that are real similar to Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Falco and Wolf.
Yeah. And these are, like, humanoid animal characters from a series of game, again, in which these, like, pretty interesting character designs, not really my speed or anything, but they just get in ships, and then you spend all your time being in a ship instead of being, like, they go all out for these, like, you know, like Captain Falcon, we mentioned before, for them to be concealed, which is just silly, I don't know, but...
Yeah, and... We didn't really mention anything about the appearance of pretty much any of these guys, but
yeah.
But yeah, Falco, Fox, and Wolf are, you know, personified human-shaped versions of these animals. Yes. They're furries.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Falco and Fox just have pretty much the same moveset.
Pretty much. Like, you know, all of their, like, special moves are basically the same. Fox has, like, a reflector shield he can bust out sometimes, so if people are shooting at him, it'll bounce projectiles back, and it's pretty satisfying to, like, nail one of those. But with Fox, you just hold it down, and he just covers himself. Falco, like, kicks his out, and, like, you can use it to, like, push people off. It's more of an offensive thing.
Cool.
And for the most part, with your just A button regular punches and kicks, like, Falco's air game is way better, which makes sense than Fox's. Fox is more like a ground kicky guy.
Yeah. Then there's Wolf, and his moveset is similar, but more aggressive-seeming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of his attacks do a little bit more damage per hit, but he doesn't do them as fast.
Yeah.
His dash is more of a, I'm gonna claw into you rather than just hit through you. It's a similar feeling. I definitely prefer Fox to to Wolf, personally. But that's about it.
I find Wolf very hard to control. Like, he's so heavy. Like, it's just, denser and burlier. Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't get knocked around as hard, but also getting back on stage is, like, a royal pain.
Yeah, because none of his boosting up into the air abilities are as good. They don't go as high.
Oh, yeah.
So let's move on to Pikachu.
Pikachu. I mean, I generally think Pikachu is pretty pleasant. I wish Raichu would get more love. We mentioned that in the Pokemon episode. But Pikachu is a fan favorite for very new players of Smash because all they do is just call the lightning down on themselves over and over, which is like a really powerful move. But yeah, Pikachu is definitely big, hasty. You want to move around a lot. You shoot light, you know, thunderbolts that like bounce around on the stage.
And it also wraps around the stage.
Yeah.
Which is real fucking annoying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pikachu, very good at edge guarding. If you're trying to get back on stage, Pikachu has a lot of ways to, like, just bounce you off and lightning bolt you and shit.
And in this game, Pikachu back in the day, his lightning thing that called it straight down from the sky wouldn't go through the floors.
Yeah.
This one will go right through all the floors.
Yep. So anyone above you, you can nail them.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're playing at, which, yeah, is handy. Pichu is also available, which is the, you know, the baby form.
Still no Raichu, though.
Yeah, no. So Pichu was definitely, in the games he was in before, was like a joke character. They tried to, like, balance him out in this by just making him super duper fast compared to regular Pikachu. But it's, like, Pichu's, like, so light. Like, you'll be at 50% and get just, like, murderinated by a powerful enough move if you're playing as Pichu. And a lot of people really enjoy him, like, for the just insane speed and, like, combo ability. But I'm not on that level, and I never intend to be with Pichu. Most of his electrical attacks also do a little damage to himself because, you know, baby and can't control all of the shit. Which is, like... just kind of so silly to me.
That's real lame, yeah.
Some other characters do have moves that will damage themselves, but generally that's, like, a huge charged-up attack. Like, if you charge it too long, will, like, you know, hurt you too in the retaliation. Different sort of story.
There's also other Pokemon. I believe there's Lucario, Jigglypuff.
Yeah.
Frog Boy Ninja.
Greninja, yes.
Greninja. And then a Pokemon Ranger. Pokemon Trainer, and you can just have other Pokemon.
Yeah. I have never really played much with all of them. I mean, they certainly don't play like Pikachu or anything.
No.
Jigglypuff is, like, sort of a joke character. One of her most powerful moves is to fall asleep, which, if you can hit the other person, like, at just the right spot with your falling asleep animation, will do, like, a huge smash and, you know, knock them a great distance. But if you fuck it up, then you are asleep for a couple seconds and they can just wail on you. Like, there are people who stand by Jigglypuff, but if it's definitely meant to be, like, a silly character, and again, like, very puffy and light and easy to, like, send flying.
Mewtwo has more of a interesting moveset from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I tried him for a moment. You can, like, psychically confuse people and knock them out of commission for a moment, and you wail on them for a bit. You can just, I don't know, fairy light murder their stomach for a while and just cause quick damage. You can float pretty well.
Yeah.
You can jump pretty high. Yeah, interesting movesets for Mewtwo.
I think part of the deal with Mewtwo is, like, yeah, you do have a lot that can, like, keep the other person stunned, which is very handy, but Mewtwo is very light. Like, it is fragile as well.
Then there's Lucario. I don't think I've ever played with him. He hits good, I'm assuming. Like, as his thing, he's a fighter.
Yeah. Lucario is, like, a pretty quick brawler. He has a, like, just a laser blast attack similar to Mewtwo or Samus, like a charge-up beam, but for the other moves is mostly, like, a super close range. He has, like, an alternate throw, kind of like Bowser has, and I think, like, sort of the gimmick with Lucario is the higher its damage goes up, its attacks get way, like, bigger and stronger. Like, the blasts will be larger on all of its moves as it's more hurt, which is an interesting thing. I have no real, like, you know, grace to speak of with Lucario.
Have you tried Greninja at all?
Greninja's a pain in the ass. Like, it just, like, the way he moves and jumps is super weird. Like, I find the controls, like, just the basic mobility controls to be perplexing. And, like, I just feels very awkward,
yeah.
Like slimy, like I'm handling a real frog. It's just, like, feels wrong in my hands. I don't know.
Then there's Incineroar, which we forgot about.
Yes, Incineroar.
I don't like it.
No, I think it's funny. Like, this is one of the newest starter Pokemon. It's a big flaming, like, it's meant to be a wrestler cat. So, like, it fits right in. Like, all of its its facial expressions and noises are just very, like, macho and gruff. And I think it's kind of funny. But somehow, computer Incineroars always beat the ever-loving shit out of me. And whenever I try to be Incineroar, it's an embarrassment. Like, I don't understand how it moves at all. Yeah, qualified.
It just walks around. Mm-hmm. The only way to move quickly is to do attacks that move mm-hmm. you faster.
Yeah, he runs very slowly, but has all kinds of just, like, you know, suplexes and slams and, like, you know, big, boisterous wrestling attacks. Mm-hmm. But the Pokemon trainer is very interesting.
Because you have, like, three Pokemon you can swap out. Basically, I mean, there's three more Pokemon that you can play as.
Yes.
Charizard, Ivysaur, yeah. And Squirtle?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, the basic and then stage two, stage three. And you basically, I have not played around with it a lot. I think that's a whole nother layer of mastery even beyond regular Smash to, like, be a good Pokemon trainer player. But
yeah, I played with someone and she was the Pokemon trainer for a moment. Mm-hmm. And like, they all had their quirks, like, I don't know, Squirtle, but Ivysaur was pretty good at keeping me at a distance.
Yeah.
And then Charizard's pretty good at just fucking burning me to death and killing me pretty good.
Yeah. I think, like, part of the kind of the strategy is, like, either Squirtle or Ivysaur are going to be your best bet. Like, Squirtle just moves really fast and has a lot of stuff to rack up the damage, but not really anything to do a big smash. Ivysaur, like you said, has, you know, ranged game and long reach and can play keep away. And then you bring in Charizard when they're high damage to do the finisher. I think, you know, that's generally the consensus. Charizard also has, like, it's super heavy, but it can still, like, float. So it's good to, like, recover back on stage.
All right, so that's everything Pokemon related. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to a character that I know is you've been interested in their game before. Let's talk about Ness.
Oh yeah, I think, like, Ness is among the, like, least people knowing about the actual game of his origin, but it's from a game called Earthbound, which is just a really charming, funny, like, old school turn-based RPG that I'm a big fan of, and I wouldn't even necessarily, like, recommend it that hard. Maybe, like, a let's play. It's just, like, extremely amusing. Like,
yeah, it's real.
It's a very feel good kind of a game. Ness is not a feel good character in this game to me. Like, he has various, like, psychic powers that I'm in no way a master of, and also this is just, like, a little kid, sideways cap, he'll bonk you with a baseball bat, hit you with a yo-yo, you know, blast you with a huge psychic explosion, trap you in a pillar of fire.
Fun.
And like, Ness's main means of, like, launching himself back on stage is the PK Thunder, which sends, like, a lightning ball, and while he's focusing on it, you steer the lightning ball instead of himself, and so you can, you know, just use that to, like, ram into enemies and mess with them from far away, or you need to steer the lightning ball around to hit yourself, and then he, like, explodes and does, like, a blasty jump. It's a pain in the ass. I'm no good with Ness. And Lucas is extremely similar to Ness with just, like, some minor tweaks on some of his moves, but he's from the next Earthbound game. That's not what it's called, but, you know, so to speak. Just a few variations on how some of the psychic powers work, but, you know, enough to just move right along to a character who people, as we alluded to, only know from this game, really, and a lot of people really enjoy is Captain Falcon.
Yeah, I'm not very good with him. Mm-hmm. He has his, you know, Falcon Punch.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool and all. It does mad damage if you mm-hmm. can hit someone with it.
And this is not a Birdman. This is just a guy dressed up in kind of like a Super Sentai Power Rangers-esque outfit.
Yeah, big shoulder pads, mm-hmm. interesting helmet mask with, like, a falcon on it. And yeah. I think that's his whole shtick.
Mm-hmm.
He's all right. Like, yeah. He does good damage. He's pretty agile, kind of not the lightest person in the world, so he doesn't get mm-hmm. knocked around too easily. But I'm not very familiar with his moveset.
Oh, yeah, no. He just has kind of a few, like, really big punches and smashes and stuff that are, like, you know, particularly potent. Like, he'll hit you with the knee and it'll send you flying. For the most part, I think people just really enjoy his, banter. You know, he Falcon Punch! And if he catches you with certain moves, he'll just go, yes! And he just always seems like he's really having a good time, even if you're not having a good time being him. We got Princess Peach and also Princess Daisy, who is another character that people online are like, there might be differences between them, but we haven't found them yet. Like, they're pretty much just identical.
Yes, this is the next Echo character, right?
Yeah.
And I know that with Peach, and I'm assuming at this point Daisy,
yeah,
they just have a real quality floating on the way down, get yourself back up mechanics
to
keep them from falling off.
Very forward. Much mid-air fighters. They can sort of levitate. They can float on their umbrella. They'll pull vegetables out of the ground and then throw them at you. That's happened in one Mario game one time, so now that's part of their character.
Yep. And of course, with them and Mario and all the other gang, there's a Bowser.
Oh, yeah. I know you're not much of a Bowser fan. I always thought his design was kind of cool. They just throw in all of the stereotypically mean animals features onto a turtle body, and then it just turns into this, like, you know, big muscle bruiser motherfucker. Like, like, Bowser has always been really bad in Smash, but is, like, suddenly awesome now. And I mentioned before, I always will switch into Bowser when I'm having trouble with, like, a CPU fight, because if you can hit him just right with, like, the huge drop kick, it'll just send him off into fucking space. But he can breathe fire real slow. Some of the things that they've done to heavy characters in this game is making it so they don't flinch from, like, light hits. Like, if you're jabbing Bowser, he can just, you know, stand there and take it and still punch you right through it. So it's really hard to, like, you know, keep him busy and combo him and stuff. You kind of need to do big hits back to Bowser if you want to actually, like, pin him down.
Yeah. There's also
an important change to make him actually playable this time.
There's also another character, Bowser Baby.
Oh, yeah. Bowser Jr.
He's in an egg or something.
Yeah. It's the clown car, the Koopa clown car, which happened in a Mario game one time. So, of course, you know, it gets pulled in. And the like, little, you know, car thing it rides around and has all kinds of gadgets and devices and stuff that I could go into way too much detail on, but I won't. I was definitely Bowser Jr. main in the last game. That was, like, super my guy. And it's still pretty good in this one. But there's just a whole bunch of, like, projectiles and other weird things you can keep throwing out onto the stage to just, like, annoy the shit out of your enemy as they try to close in on you. And I have a fun time with it, but it's definitely not everybody's bag.
Sounds interesting, at least. So, do you know anything about the ice climbers?
Ice climbers are super not everybody's bag. there's two of them. They come from an NES game called Ice Climber that came out back in the day and has never seen anything new since other than Smash Brothers. They have some, they're just like tiny kids in parkas, and they have some ice powers. They'll whack you with hammers, and there are two of them that you're controlling, like, simultaneously. Like, there's always a main one, and if that one gets knocked out, that, you know, you're toast. But the other one has sort of its own health and can still get killed independently of you, well, and then you're just alone at that point.
Whichever one gets knocked out, you still become the other one.
No, not always. Like, there's specifically is one that you're steering. If that one gets killed, they're both done for. Like, okay. You know, so you gotta keep an eye on the main one. So if you're someone who switches the colors on your characters a lot, that could fuck you up. But it's generally the one who wears darker clothing. And they can do, like, funky stuff, like the one can grab somebody and the other one keeps beating on them or, like, doing other things. And, like, the pros know how to do it, and I have no fucking clue what I'm doing with ice climbers. Like, it's a really a next level kind of a thing.
Fair enough. So let's talk about, well, the one person,
yes,
the two characters.
Yep. I mean, you know, that happens. Same with Dr. Mario and stuff. But, so Sheik and Zelda, when they were first introduced, you would switch between them since they've made them separate characters and removed that ability. Sheik is, like, I mean, the ninja-ist other than Greninja character on here can, like, disappear in a puff of smoke and throw, like, shurikens and shit, and is just, like, a super quick-moving, you know, pummeling, jabby-type character.
Yeah, I only used him for a moment, but it seemed pretty good. I didn't have a hard time getting away from enemies when I was trying, when I was almost falling down. I never had trouble getting back up on the ledge. I never had trouble doing a big move to hit them out. Like, they're pretty well-rounded.
Oh, yeah.
Zelda, on the other hand, magic and summon big armored guy. That's all I knew how to do.
Yeah. I'm a big Zelda fan. Zelda's probably going to be, like, one I try to, you know, if I'm going to fight people online, it's going to most likely be with Zelda or maybe fucking Dr. Mario, I guess. But,
I mean, that's what you've been maining the whole time.
In the story mode, particularly, like, I can mess with CPUs better with Dr. Mario, but Zelda has, one of my favorite things is just this long-range fireball that can reach across, like, the entire fucking stage, and as people are approaching you, you can just keep fucking nailing them with that, and it's a lot of fun. But, you know, so a lot of her stuff does have, like, a keep-away sort of a thing. You want to, like, keep your opponents away from you until they're damaged enough, and then she has some really strong, like, finisher spell attacks. She can teleport a really long distance to get back on stage or just get away from an enemy, or it works as an attack, too. You just hit them with the first hit of the teleport, knocks them straight up, and then you teleport up and hit them again and poof, off the ceiling. Nice. I enjoy Zelda quite a bit. Not everyone does. We already hit Falco. All right, we're about to get into the fucking twink anime swordsman identical Fire Emblem character zone. Now, I love Fire Emblem games, but there are too many fucking Fire Emblem characters in here. If you want to jump in on anybody, feel free, but
they're my favorite looking characters.
Oh, sure.
I'm gonna go in with Marth because I used him for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He's all right. His biggest thing is that he does a big counter, but I've never have the right timing,
so
using him became just, oh, I missed. Oh, I fucked it up.
Yeah, you really gotta have it ingrained to be able to counter well with Marth and the other, like, fuckzillion Fire Emblem characters in this.
Because all of his other attacks are like, all right, I'm gonna stab you, and if I get it just right, it'll do a bunch of damage, but otherwise it just kind of does okay damage, and then you're gonna hit me harder.
Yeah, the tip of the blade with Marth is, like, what the real pros figure out. Lucina, in universe, is Marth's, like, thousand-year distant descendant, but they, and also dresses like him, which has story reasons that, again, won't get into, but Lucina is like Marth that's kind of easier to play with less, you know, sort of like critical hit type stuff. Just, you know, she doesn't have the tip of the blade thing. It does the same damage the whole way along, so it's and she's a little slower, a little denser, but otherwise plays very similarly. They are Echo fighters,
which would appear to be the first Echo fighter to actually have a different mechanic.
Yes, yeah, might be the only one, I'm not certain.
She looks strikingly the same, just with longer hair.
Yep, very, and yeah, that is to a purpose, but we got a...
Ganondorf.
Yeah, Ganondorf we forgot in sort of the Zelda mix of things, but I tried playing as Ganondorf. He's just so slow. Like really it feels like you're controlling a boulder. Like,
I think one of his abilities, you can become, like, a big, like, boar and run forward.
Yeah, that's his final smash, which, I mean, we didn't really comment on, but they're just, like, a big finishing move. Depending on the game mode you're playing, there are, you know, ways to do the final smash.
I don't think I've ever done it. I've always seen it.
The big boar is Ganon. Ganondorf is the man before he yet has the ultimate power. But he's just a big, imposing, greenish, you know, brawler motherfucker. He pulls out a huge sword for some of his attacks, and, like, he'll just do massive damage if he can ever catch up to the other person. We got, back to Fire Emblem Zone, we got Roy, who plays a lot like Marth, except he has, like, big fire on his attacks, which does sort of change the way you play him. And Roy's Echo Fighter, Crom, who I never used. Fuck Crom. Who cares? There's too many of these people in this game.
I don't know who Crom is.
Yeah, Crom is Lucina's dad. Redundant. No need. Did not need it. He has, like, one of his moves is different from Roy. He has, like, Ike's sword throw slam, which Roy does not use. Ike himself is, I find, a lot of fun. He plays, I mean, he looks a lot like other sword characters, but he plays pretty differently. Like, he has, like, huge wind-up, covers, like, a whole lot of area on the sword swings. Like, it's really hard to close in on Ike just because he swings with such a distance.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other Fire Emblem characters?
Oh, yeah, sure as fuck are. And whenever there's a new game, they try to keep pulling someone new in, and these two are from Fire Emblem game. Like, the games are okay. The characters I find reprehensibly stupid in those games of origin that I have a hard time caring about them. But you have Robin, who is sort of like a spellcaster, like has several moves that are similar-ish to things that Zelda and Ness have, like kind of reskins. I'm being very reductive, like Robin fans out there are going to lose their shit. But part of the gimmick with that is like they do sort of extra damage compared to the baseline, but the spells will eventually run out and then you like just toss the book like it's used up and then you can't use that one for a little while before it sort of recharges itself. It seems like a pain in the ass. And then there's Corrin, who has like dragon transforming limbs and can like fights with a sword, but also can turn his or her, like, these two can both, there's, like, a male and female version if you change the colors, Robin and Corrin, but can turn into, like, big dragon hand grab and, like, do spike arm, and, like, I never really got the hang of playing it, and I loathe the character so much for complete outside reasons that I'm never gonna bother, but, you know, I'm sure they're half decent. But that's I believe is the Fire Emblem roundup.
Next on the chopping block is Mr. Game and Watch.
Yep,
which apparently is a character from a watch.
Yes, a character from some watch games that Nintendo made like before pre-Mario and shit. Like back when Nintendo also did like playing cards and
those became a thing that was commonly used by the Yakuza for various gambling.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Nintendo cards? Yeah, I kind of remember a Yakuza story. I forget all the details, but yeah.
That's how they got big for a while.
Mr. Game & Watch stands out particularly among the cast in that he's just a silhouette, and he just, like, pulls out various, like, kind of mundane household... Or, like, most of the Game & Watch games were just, you're a fireman. And that was the game. Like, catch people as they jump out of a burning building. Or, you're an octopus. Eat fish. Or, you know, you're a guy with a parachute. Don't die. Like just, you know, day-to-day objects and does silly things with them. I'm certainly not a pro Game & Watch by any means. But, you know, there are people who stand hard for Game & Watch. One of his moves is he bops you with a hammer, but above his head he holds a number, so completely randomly you'll get hammer attack 1 through 9, and they get like they have different effects, but they get a little bit better. Like 1 just hurts yourself, but 9 does like a super fucking like home run smash and sends them flying, and there's like 1 that freezes them and 1 that like spawns in food. It's bizarre and completely random, so that's fun.
That variability sounds awful.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, like, they're all, basically, unless you get a 1 or a 9, they're all decent for any situation you'd use the move anyway. We got Meta Knight.
Yeah, so Meta Knight's pretty great. He's got wings, so getting back on stage is usually not a problem.
Oh, yeah.
A number of, you know, pretty okay techniques, does some pretty fast, hard damage. He also has a particular skill where he flies toward you with his sword out and spins so it looks like a drill. And does a lot of damage and can just push you off the fucking stage.
Yep.
But also can just fly right off the stage. And if you are falling off of the stage after having just used that ability, you can no longer jump, fly your way back up to the stage.
Yep. Yep, yep. Real disappointing. You gotta be real careful. Like, fighting someone who's really good with Meta Knight is just, fuck you, get back here. Like he's extremely mobile. Like, easy enough to launch, but you've gotta catch him. And the bouncing around... while also being able to, like, do extremely quick slashes and dashes. So Meta Knight is a Kirby, but wears a mask and has a sword and, like, is the badass rival of Kirby, sort of, but still looks silly, which I can appreciate. I definitely want you to talk about your guy.
Pit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pit's pretty great. Pit also is a winged monster, so he can just fly around and get back up on stage, so... That's awesome.
But he looks like a shining angel.
Yeah, he looks like a nice shiny boy. And he's got an interesting double sword that becomes a bow when he shoots arrows of light out of it.
Super anime weapon
we're dealing with. Real aesthetically just kind of fun as far as, you know, if you're into the anime shit. He also has a boxing glove that he'll just run up to you and punch you with, and it'll send you flying. Like, it's a pretty like, strong hit for such a small, light character.
I have no idea what the fuck is going on in the games Pit is from, that he has all of these weird gadgets, and I surely will never play them, so who knows.
There's also his Echo character, Dark Pit, which is him, almost exactly, except...
Black wings.
Black wings, black hair, and also, instead of a bow, his... shooty weapon, it's just a sniper rifle that is also a sword.
It works basically the same way mechanically, but it just looks a little different. Like they're almost identical, I think.
Pretty much. His big punch attack, instead of being a boxing glove, is a big square for some reason, and it does some electrical damage, so you can kind of stun them for a moment if they haven't gone flying. It's all right.
The green-haired lady you mentioned before is associated with Pit. That is Lady Palutena, who gave Pit the powers that he has and is like the goddess that he works with. And she has some moves, and I don't know what any of them do. Moving on.
Cool.
Wario has a fart attack. I don't care much for him. Let's talk about Solid Snake. I think Solid Snake being in this game is extremely funny. Like, just watching him going around and, like, punching Mario is... very, very amusing to me, because he's like just this stern soldier, badass looking like guy, and he has a missile attack where you shoot it and then steer the missile, kind of like the Ness's thunder attack, but it just has, you know, more kind of pushing power. So it's a lot of fun if a bunch of other people are fighting amongst themselves to just fuck off to the side and then start shooting missiles in until somebody notices and gets pissed off at you, goes to mess with you. Also, his grab and down throw is just, he puts them to sleep and just lays them on the ground like he does in Metal Gear games, and then they are stunned for a second. We just, all right, go to bed, Mario.
Fun.
You can throw grenades and shit. I'm no good with Solid Snake at all, but I will pop in sometimes just for kicks. We got those. Oh, Diddy Kong. He's a small monkey. You can throw a banana peel.
Yeah.
Real monkey jokes going on here.
You can jetpack up
with barrel jetpacks.
Yeah. Lucas, which you mentioned, is basically just a different skin of Ness.
Sonic is in this game. King Dedede is Kirby's rival. He's a big penguin man.
You're just going to ride right over Sonic?
I talked about him, but it was fast, so you couldn't hear. gotta go fast. Big King Penguin with a huge rocket hammer. Look, you can put it in post if you want.
I don't care. Your hatred of Sonic is irrelevant. We're getting so far into this, we need to move along.
Yes. King Man, pain in the ass to use, I find. He's just another kind of super bulky, heavy character. He can do a puff and float, kind of like Kirby does, though. He has, like, aerial mobility. Like, over the course of the many Kirby games in which you fight him, he steals more abilities from Kirby, which I think is, like, a fun, like, petty thing. It's like, oh, that guy keeps beating me. What if I suck him up this time? And you don't get anyone's powers. He just eats them and spits them out, but...
And this is just an aesthetic thing, but when he does his hammer move, just like Kirby's, if you charge it up, open up, it'll be a rocket that propels his hammer forward.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's kind of fun.
I'm into that. He had the hammer first. Kirby was the copycat in that exchange.
But that's his shtick, is that he copies people.
Yeah. That's true. Olimar from the Pikmin games. I think Pikmin are pretty cool. Like, those games are fun. This character is way too complicated for me. He's a little spaceman, and he has his vegetable being followers that you throw at the opponents. They'll, like, latch on and keep beating them up as they're trying to do other things, but they can be killed as well. Like, you occasionally need to run off to the side and pluck more guys out of the ground. I've not really put much into the character. You play any Rob?
I did. A bit confusing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really 100% sure what was going on. He can just fly.
Yep.
Which is
cool. Yeah, super great recovery with the jetpack.
Like, sturdy character, doesn't get knocked around really, very easily. It didn't do him consistently because I couldn't figure out how, but has a lot of pretty powerful hits. He's got a strong laser beam thing that he can fuck people up, get them pretty high in the damage, and then just walk over and spin hit them off the map.
And this is like a really... He looks like Wally. Yep. I think that pretty much covers it, right?
That pretty much it.
So the thing with the laser, in like a lot of characters have a laser that you have to like stand still and charge it up and do it on purpose. His just charges anytime he's doing other things, and eventually a blinking light will go on his head to let you know that the super laser is ready, and then you can do it and it's a huge kill, but otherwise it's super kind of pretty lame. We're rolling through. The villager from Animal Crossing. This is a little chibi kid throws household objects around. There's a lot of shit that's shout-outs to Animal Crossing that we'll eventually cover if I can somehow twist Ollie into doing it.
I've done it before. I'm just not...
Just for a few days and, yeah. You know, enough to talk about it.
I know you can plant a tree with the villager and yes. Then... Because you planted a tree, you then get an axe which you can use to cut mm-hmm. down the tree.
Yeah.
And I think if you do cut down the tree and it hits someone, it does a buttload of damage. Yep. Or you can just walk around with the axe now.
Yep. Yeah. You plant the tree, and it's a sapling. Then you water the tree, and it grows. This takes place more quickly than growing an actual tree does, just so the listeners know.
Doesn't sound like it.
The tree is on the field, then you have access to the axe, and then the axe is like... you know, big damage weapon. And if you can chop down the tree on somebody, it is just like, you know, enormous disaster. Mega Man?
No fucking idea.
No fucking idea. I like Mega Man a lot. I think I like Mega Man games a whole lot. Mega Man's very hard to play in this. He has all kinds of goofy projectiles, and I never know what to use in the situation.
The only ability I ever learned how to actually use was the one where he makes little leafs fly around him yeah. and then push them forward.
Yeah, the leaf shield.
That was good. It mm-hmm. did some damage. It was
all
right.
But it's just, all of his moves are like kind of powers pulled from other robots in the Mega Man games, which is how those games work. The Wii Fit Trainer...
Does yoga moves and hits people.
Yeah. Does yoga moves. She does have a couple projectiles, actually. She can charge up like a sun blast by saluting the sun. And she can also... slam a soccer ball, like headbutt it down and forward, which is kind of hard to aim with, but it's satisfying to nail people as they're trying to get back on the platform with the soccer ball that rolls down.
Rosalina and Luma, which is another Mario
character. Specifically from the Mario Galaxy games.
Yeah.
She's an elegant princess.
Indeed, a space princess or whatever, space mm-hmm. goddess maybe. And she's all right, but she has this little... Luna, the star that follows her around, mm-hmm. and it can also do damage to you, and it's the fucking worst.
Oh, yeah. So her whole kind of deal is to send in the Luma, and then anytime she does just her regular attacks, the Luma will copy them. So the two of them can be operating at different parts of the field. It sounds insane being, like, a player, like a main Rosalina player. It's convoluted. You can eventually just kill the Luma if you wail on it enough, though, and once you have that, she's... very subpar on her own.
Little Mac, which is just a very small human yeah. with boxing gloves who mm-hmm. will hit you real hard.
From the Punch-Out series, which yeah. I think are legitimately awesome games. Mm-hmm. And Little Mac's whole deal is that on the ground, he has all of his attacks are extremely amazing, but he can't jump for shit, and in the air, he like is extremely terrible. So like the stage you're on has a lot of factors when you're dealing with Little Mac. Like, if your enemy can be above you, it's a bad time. But otherwise, like, you're just insanely fast, insanely strong. The Mii characters, we mentioned there's a gunner, a swordsman, and a brawler, and I think I can kind of short-circuit. They just pretty much have a bunch of moves taken from other fighters.
Yeah.
When you're customizing yours, you can pick each of your four special moves from three options apiece. Which is fun to, like, tailor yours to be different.
Yeah, and like you said, they're all basically moves that other characters have that you can kind of steal. I know the gunner can steal a few powers from Samus and so on. And they're all right. They're good, like, middle ground characters. Like, they're always going to be pretty okay.
Oh, yeah. We got Pac-Man, who pulls out a bunch of other, like... old-ass arcade references and throws them around. One of his moves summons a fire hydrant, and I truly have no idea why. Not sure what that's referencing. There's not an arcade game about it that I know of. No fucking clue.
I don't know either, man.
But I do kind of like the 3D-ified Pac-Man design with arms and legs. Like, if they were going to do him in this game, this was the best way it could have gone. We got them.
We didn't get Shulk.
We didn't. Oh yeah, I forgot him.
Shulk is not that great. No. Well, maybe he is. I don't know. I don't know how to play him. Mm-hmm. In other games, you could just do a special and swap his different modes, which is like smash mode, hit attack mode, speed mode, whatever.
Jump mode. And then like shield, I think.
Yeah. And they're useful for, you know, doing the thing that they're designated to, but it doesn't have a whole lot of other special moves, and his other abilities are kind of unknown to me. In this game, swapping between those is different.
Yeah.
And you just kind of do them as you do a specific attack.
You can still like shift manually. It's just the regular B, like while you're standing still, and then you pick them. It's awkward to do. But that's really kind of his gimmick, is just the form changing. Other than that, he has like a laser sword. It's called the Manado. I know slight a bit about his game. But
I think one of the forms makes that thing light up and it gets kind of big.
Yeah. Some of the attacks it just will flare up to and have, like, long reach. Also, he has one of his outfits is just him in swim trunks, which a lot of the lady fans of, not just the lady fans, but, you know, people were finally like, oh, Zero Suit Samus has been in the last games. Now we finally have a male fan service character, I guess. We got Duck Hunt, where the dog, who used to work for the guy who was shooting the duck, has now teamed up with the duck, which I'm glad they could put themselves aside. And the guy with the gun is presumably off screen, because a lot of Duck Hunt's moves involve you throwing some object and then pressing the button further and having the object get shot by the player of Duck Hunt.
Got nothing else to say about that, personally.
Yeah, it's, again, like, super complicated character, like, real niche for the fans. We've got Ryu and Ken from Street Fighter.
Yeah, Ken is just an echo of Ryu.
Which it was the case in Street Fighter also.
Yep, they're bad.
Yeah, I'm not good with them. I think part of the point is that you can just do Smash Bros. Buttons, and then they'll do their special attacks and stuff. But if you do the Street Fighter combination for the same attack, it will be a more powerful version. Huh. So sign me up to never be these guys ever, because I sure don't know Street Fighter. We've got the meme himself, Cloud from Final Fantasy, who the fans have been saying for years, yeah, I'd love for him to be in Smash, but it'll never happen. And then it fucking happened. So
he's pretty good. I played him for like 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And in those 20 seconds, I realized, oh, I'm just going to not get hit for a few moments, charge up my limit breaking meter, and then hit them one time and run away.
Getting hit does also charge it up. Like, as you attack, or you get attacked, or you just choose to stand still and charge up the meter. Yeah, his regular special moves, when you have the meter fill, will then become super mega versions of that special move. It's kind of fun.
He can also charge while he's falling through the air, so I would just jump around, charge, jump around, charge.
Bayonetta comes from perhaps the strangest of the properties that they got for this Smash Brothers game. Yeah,
I think it's basically a game akin to Devil May Cry.
Yes.
Like, you just go around shit up.
It's Devil May Cry, but what if we replaced the macho shit with... What is it? Okay. Feminine implies a very different quality from macho. What is macho but of women? Because that's what Bayonetta is. Like,
Butch.
Sort of. It's like, it's just the loudest feminist. I want to get a Bayonetta game and play it someday so I can
reach
for the words for this. But yeah, it's definitely like button mashy hell.
Got some giant hair hands and legs that hit things.
Yes. Sultry British lady opens voids from which demon hands punch the enemies.
Slides around on the ground and just hurts real good.
She has guns strapped to each limb. And
yeah, she's got, you know, regular handguns. Mm-hmm. But then her heels on her shoes are also the barrels of guns.
Yep. If you,
just fun.
For any of her regular jabs and kicks and stuff, if you hold the button down after doing it, she'll just continue to shoot from her outstretched limb. And, you know, you can rack up damage on people farther away or on the guy you just punched away. It seems pretty neat. I've never played Bayonetta to any effect in an actual game mode. I just hopped into training, but it seemed like a ton of fun.
All right. So Inkling.
Inkling from Splatoon.
It's all right from what I saw. It has a surprising number of actual mechanics from the Splatoon game, to recharge your ink
by going
into your own ink puddle.
It's not that big of a deal. You can generally have the opportunity to get away and charge up ink, but the idea is you're just spraying with squirt guns and paint rollers and buckets this ink everywhere, which just looks like paint. But and when your enemy is painted, all of your attacks are like super effective against them. And then if they get away from you, they can kind of shake it off. But your goal is to like slather them a little bit with like a light attack and then head in for like a big smash. And it's cool.
Next is Ridley. I have no fucking idea. I think it's a Samus character, you said?
Yes, yes. Ridley's from Metroid. Ridley's like a big skeletal, almost like craggy dragon, and I'm a piece of shit with Ridley. No idea what to do. He's another sort of light-heavy mixture in that he can, like, fly and be pretty nimble in the air while also still being, like, pretty weighty and hard to knock around, but that comes with a lot of sort of awkwardness with the moves and, like, a lot of his attacks, the enemy just needs to be at, like, the exact right spot, and that's stuff I never really care to master.
Next up is Simon and Richter Belmont from the Castlevania games.
Yep. They play... Richter we're fairly familiar with, not really with being him, but
punch him in the face a little bit. But yeah, they play similarly enough, surprisingly, to the way they play in Castlevania. Have a bunch of side weapons and utility weapons that are useful for range and for other interesting attacks. Whip.
Oh, yeah.
Get some range on them. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I really like the whip. I enjoy playing as these guys just because all of their, you know, regular punch-in attacks are pretty straightforward. Like, if I click attack in this direction, he's going to whip that way. Or whip straight up, or whip straight down. It's just very specific. I know exactly where my hitboxes are going to be. They can also throw the axe, which in this game is way fucking better than it is in Symphony of the Night. It's just really satisfying to nail someone with the axe.
King Rule, which is Donkey Kong.
King K. Rule. King K. Rule. Donkey Kong villain, big chubby alligator man.
He used to play similar to like Donkey Kong, right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. He's a big super heavy. What attacks from the front a lot of the time, he has like a gold-plated stomach. So when he's doing like dash attacks and stuff, damage he takes from the front will be reduced because you're just hitting him in the plate, but eventually like it can break. I have not played enough of the character nearly to like know how to do all that shit. Okay.
And our last character here, Isabella.
Isabel, we probably should have mentioned with the Animal Crossing villager, plays very similar to the villager. The only real difference is she has like a super long reach like fishing rod that she can grab and swing you around with in place of some of the other attacks.
So, and she's a dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She, like, the villager is more like in your face, kind of mobile. Isabel has more sort of longer reach stuff from what little I've tried. But that's kind of our character breakdown. So I feel like we just hit the ones we really liked to be very early on. Do you, your number one is Fox, of course. Do you have any other kind of
runner-ups or ringers? Yeah, Pit and Fox, even though I know everyone says they're probably kind of cheap, they're my boys.
Ah, they used to. I think everybody got a little more expensive in this game.
Yeah, they're my boys. They do fast damage. They can dodge pretty well. They can do some distance damage. Basically, they're well-rounded, and I'm not a very good player, so well-rounded is something I need.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the, like, I know the mobility factor for those characters, too, is something that you have enjoyed.
Yeah.
Any attack, you're getting used to the controls and stuff.
Any attack that moves me from place to place is essential. That's why when I made my Mii, all of my attacks move me.
Yeah.
I don't like just standing still.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. And it pays off in this game, like, for the platforming aspect, sort of. Like, Zelda's probably my favorite. I'm not good with Simon and Richter, but I'd like to be. I think they're amusing to play as, and all the projectiles are fun. Had a surprising amount of fun with Toon Link. And in spite of myself, Dr. Mario is apparently just real kick-ass. despite having perhaps the least case to belong in this game. I'm extremely excited for the Piranha Plant DLC to finally release. The just normally completely rooted fucking stationary plant from Mario, they decided, throw it in. So now it's in a little jar and hops around, and that there have been previews, but it's not in the game yet.
That's all the characters. Let's wrap this up, because it's already been
2 hours. Oh, yeah, no, we're done.
We could have put this into 2 episodes, the game and then the characters.
I didn't know how long it was going to take. I think talking about the characters is important to talk about the game, but I think, you know, final summations are going to be pretty tidy. Fun fighting game. I like it way better than other much more technical fighting games. The story mode is fine.
Yep.
That's kind of where I'm sitting.
Yeah. I'm going to say that it's a game that I enjoy to play with friends. I enjoy the me aspect more than anything else. I'm not super keen on the story at all. Like, it's interesting, but I'm not super, like, drawn to it. I don't plan to ever finish it. The classic mode is kind of fun. But to be honest, I'm not a big fan. I don't actually like the game.
Oh, sure.
Like, with you and with my friends who come over, like, yeah, I'll get down. Because any game where multiple people can play at the same time and have fun, I'm always down for. But I don't actually like this game.
Oh, yeah, no. I did not expect remotely for you to continue after we, you know, did our topic. And I might goof around on the online. But again, that's all with the intent of, oh, I've got to beat my friend, well, I'm not going to mention my friend's names yet until they back us on the damn Patreon, but I've got to meet this and that. I've got to beat so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I don't know if fucking Terry has a Nintendo Switch, number one guy. You know, maybe he'd be the number one guy if we fight each other, but, you know, it's all, like, eventually my enthusiasm is going to peter out, and then I will put it down for a while and maybe, and only ever open it back up when other people come around.
Yeah.
For sure.
Also, our new Patreon tier, you get our friend code.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, sure. No, I'll do that.
Sure, why not? But, man, it's a good game. Like, I objectively say it's a well-made fighting game. Probably one of the better ones. It's interesting mechanics. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like, again, this is the kind of thing where the characters, if you have affection for any of them, will go a long way, and that's just not your, you know, not your childhood nostalgia bag.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, if it's about the characters, and I like some of the characters, but, like, I don't ever want to look at Mario or any of his people.
Yeah.
I don't care about any of them.
Yeah, they're not, like, you know, the gripping drama of Mario is not something associated with me. I wish you could be Charizard all by himself again. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty tidy. It's fitting, I think, to talk about this game. Like, it's definitely worth talking about. Like, this is a pretty noteworthy thing among fighting games. And Also, we're way more qualified to do this than, like, if we bought Street Fighter and fiddled around with it for, like, a month before talking about it, you know?
True. All right.
Any other fighting games, we're going to need to call in some experts. So, listeners, $15 tier, you get to name a game and we will play it with you, and you can beat us up over it on the internet.
Hell yeah. So yeah, that's all I got to say about it.
Oh, for sure. We're done. We're free, baby.
Woo!
Final Smash. What did we learn?
If your game's kind of just add more characters.
Okay. I learned that if you, like, swoosh a piece of cloth, anything anyone shoots at you, just knock it right back to them. That's how it works in this game. That's how it works in real life, baby.